So decide now to compete for the toughest challenge. Every day, decide to expand again and again and again. Because you are in a crossroads and you have a choice. You have a choice. Whether to be a madman or a bold genius. What's the difference? A madman is somebody who does the same action over and over and over for an unknown destiny. A bold genius is somebody who does the same action over and over and over again for a known destiny. That is why fortune always favors the bold. True titans of our times and of the past, who are bent on making most of their opportunities in life, are too busy to bother with luck. Luck is the good fortune you determine for yourself. So find the strength. Have the knowledge. Summon up the courage to accomplish and see that your dreams are limitless. Your dreams are the fabric that binds all of us together. Rise up! Rise up like fire! Ascend the ladder of your dreams. We choose to rise, not fall. We choose to live, not die. Shift to your triumph. Today, you shift to your triumph and carry your dreams forward until your life is a capital of triumph. I believe in you, and I know you can do whatever you want. You have an unlimited potential. And when you tune to this state of mind, all your inner abilities will be effortless and forever yours. A modern runway for a higher accomplishment. This moment, this second, your life is an Olympian sunrise. This is your time.
This is your time. Right here at RevolutionRadio.com. To rise up and make the difference. Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. Listener supported. 100%. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Prisoner wishes to say a word. distant star to shining star, from out of the night and into the light. Your frequency is ascending with your host, Sean David.
From sea to sea, planet to planet and star to shining star, from out of the night and into the light, from the pyramids of Giza to the pyramids on Mars, from our ancient Antediluvian past to the far-flung reaches of the distant future, from science fiction to science fact, from ancient Atlantis Lemuria to the United States of America. FreedomSlips.com Revolution Radio. The 100% listener supported station. Please just punch and tickle pink to give you the pinnacle of 14.5. Billion years of evolution. Strange universe. Sean is one more day down in the south. He's checking out a few more things that he needed to for personal business. And asked me to take care of the ship known as Strange Universe for the next day. He will be back tomorrow, he says, he swears, he promises. So it is me, even Steve Travesty, hanging out with you on this Talk to Me Tuesday. If you'd like to call in, the number is 347-688-2902, 347-688-2902, and Freedom Screen on Skype. We are giving we got a special promotion running currently for a $75 donation to Revolution Radio. You can have your choice of either a 1 ounce silver bar or a Revolution Radio baseball cap. In your donation notes, you just write down which one you want, the 1 ounce bar or the ball cap. And then Hawk will receive the money and the message, and he will send it to you right away. Make sure you obviously leave your shipping information. Anyway, welcome everybody. Hope you had a good day yesterday. I've had a pretty chill day. I was so tired yesterday, and then somehow I just kept going, mostly because my buddy invited me over to his house to watch wrestling, and I said, oh, okay, you're actually inviting me. Fine, cool. I'm there. Because I thought he was going to call it a day yesterday and not have any of the sort going on. But I was pleasantly surprised, hung out for a little bit, then came home and tried to pass out. yeah. So, you know, the last 24 hours haven't seemed to be eventful, you know, mostly it's just the evolution of current events. So nothing breaking news, per se. But I do have a portion of articles and whatnot to pick up on for you. But this is Talk to Me Tuesday. So like I said, 347-688-2902, 347-688-2902 and Freedom Screen on Skype. I am here for 4 hours today, so it's going to be a little wacky-dacky insane in the membrane. So your calls are most welcome. Hell, I may take calls for all 4 hours. But I definitely have things that I can run and that I can do, so on and so forth. And we've got our first, I believe. What's going on here? He should be connecting. Yes, no? Hold on, I got somebody trying to connect on Skype. And they called and then it didn't connect. Let me try again. Try to get them in here. There we are. Hello, Os Paul.
G'day, Steve. Hey, Ron?
Yes, yes, there I am.
Well, I'm just welcoming you to just say hello. And unfortunately, I've missed the last 5 minutes, so I'm not up to date at the moment. So please carry on.
Well, we just started. Literally, I've just been going through the introduction. I haven't started a damn thing. So go ahead. What's up?
Well, it's actually quite amusing in Melbourne Town. What I would like to talk to you about is one of our lovely hosts. He's bloody 16, and he's a quadriplegic. Well, he's sort of paraplegic, and he can move a little bit of his arms, but yeah, not enough to wipe his bum. But the fantastic part about him, he's one of our radio hosts, and he's got a bright spark on his head. And I'd just like to say, Dylan's a fantastic dude as well.
Who?
Who are we? Dylan.
Who?
Dylan.
Dylan?
Dylan. Yeah.
Dylan. He's a host here? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he's a host here. He's a quadriplegic. He's 16 years old. He's the youngest host of Revolution Radio.
Really? And why have I not heard of Dylan? Where the bloody hell? Huh?
No. I'm sorry. He didn't want to make his handicap well known.
Why the hell are you talking about it?
Huh?
Dude, you just came on Strange Universe at the beginning of the show before people have tuned out. And
I'm sorry.
And you just blew up his spot? That's not right.
No, I know. It's just a fantastic thing, though, because Dylan is one of the best people that you should actually listen to, because yeah, he's a young person, you know, getting his act into gear.
Okay, all right. Dylan, I'm looking at the schedule. What, Dylan Wade over here? Is that it? Dylan Wade, he's on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Sorry, I just like to have the heads out for that one. That's all.
Thank
you very much, Steve.
That's it? You just came on here to say, listen to Dylan Wade?
Yeah, from Melbourne, even.
Okay, cool.
Sorry that I mucked you up. So,
yes. You didn't muck me up. I'm just like, but you're just sitting here being like, hey, let me tell you about Dylan, and then let me tell you something that he didn't want me to tell anybody. And then tell you that he didn't want me to tell anybody. So I'm like, wait a minute, because now I'm jumping to his aid and I don't even know the guy, because that ain't right.
But the funny part about it is, he didn't want me to mention it correctly, but yeah.
Okay. Well, sure. All right.
The best part about it is
you didn't have nothing else going on in your, you know, that you wanted to call in for. You just wanted to promote Beyond the Myth with Dylan Wade.
Well, I was trying to do that, yes.
Okay.
Other than that, Steve, it's in the morning, and like I said, I haven't caught up to the show because you haven't said bugger all over the 5 last minutes. So,
well, sure, no worries. Okay, well. Thank you then, I guess. You can hang in the background if you want, or whatever you need to do.
Yep, I'm here in the background. Go for the show, please, Steve.
Sounds good then. Okay, so... Well, let me just get started with things. And as a reminder, 347-688-2902 and Freedom Screen on Skype. You know, I've just talked to me Tuesday, keeping the phone lines open. With that being said, where am I at here? So here's something interesting that was in a headline today. I'm actually grabbing this off of ABC News. Two killed in mid-air crash between an F-16 and a Cessna near Charleston, officials say. Yes, an F-16 fighter jet hit a Cessna. They rammed each other. That doesn't sound right to me.
Now, I actually heard that, and the funny part about that was the egg beater, which is called a Cessna, was turning and veering, and the fighter jet was going at Mach 2, or double the speed of sound, and just didn't see him at the last minute, and they both went down.
I guess so. This is a very, very rare occurrence, and there's a whole lot of Cessnas in the air at any given time, and not a lot of...
It's a very, very rare occurrence, because everyone's got squawk codes and this and that, and everyone's talking on their bloody headphones and this and that.
Yeah, and I think Cessnas, because they're kind of like the sedan of the airs. Like, you know, like Cessna's...
No, they're the Beatles, the VW.
Ost! You keep interrupting me. Ost!
They're VWs. They're Beatles, and they keep on going, and they just cruise. They're not a fast instrument of flying.
Ost?
Have you ever flown?
Oh, my God. Ugh. He's going to sit there and interrupt me. I'm just like, hold on a second. I had a complete thought. Now I'm yelling at him, hey, Oss, you keep interrupting, and he keeps going. So, you know, that's what happens on Skype. If you keep running your mouth, the audio takes over, you know, because while he's talking, Skype doesn't allow well for back and forth. And if that's going to be where he's at. Anyway... This story, let's try to get some details here instead of having him just go off on his, commentary about the airline industry in that way. This was written by Megan Keneally, Catherine Falders, and Justin Fischel via Good Morning America. Two people died when a military fighter crashed into a Cessna plane today midair about 11 miles north of Charleston, South Carolina, according to the Federal Aviation Administration and the National Transportation Safety Board. The NTSB confirmed this afternoon that the two people on board the Cessna C-150 died in the 11:06 a.m. crash with the F-16 fighter. The identities of the pilot and the passenger who were killed in the two-seater plane have not been released. Russian bombers fly near U.S. on July 4th. Small plane crash lands on crowded California beach. Okay, those are two links that I just kind of like ran into the sentence. But anyway, on an Air Force spokesman confirmed to ABC News that the pilot of the F-16 identified as Major Aaron Johnson ejected from the plane is now being evaluated at Joint Base Charleston's medical clinic. The plane and pilot came from Shaw Air Force Base, roughly 100 miles northwest Charleston. Okay, here's my thing. You're telling me that this guy had... So what? Did he hit the Cessna and then the plane started to have problems and he ejected? Is that how it works? I don't know. Something's kind of weird about that. The fact that this guy... ejected. I mean, I guess so. I mean, these planes are meant to take a beating. They are meant to get hit by anti-aircraft flak to a reasonable extent. They are kind of armored. So I guess if he hit the plane and then had a problem and then ejected before nonsense occurred, or whatnot, it may have been worse damage for the Cessna. I don't know. That's kind of strange to me. It's like, I mean, like, I don't know. You couldn't have seen that coming. I mean, like, if you're the guy going that fast, there's no way that it's the Cessna that's coming at you. You're going at the Cessna when you're at that speed. And he would have seen the Cessna in somewhere in the periphery, like, unless that the collision happened very, very quickly after a sharp turn. It would had to have happened very quickly after a sharp turn in order for there to be any degree of not seeing the plane coming. Otherwise, you're looking at, across that huge horizon, and even at Mach whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, and it's our nature in good journalism to consider to consider all the angles. So, you know, Is it a conspiracy? No, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm just asking questions. But of course, the second you start asking questions, you're a conspiracy nut. But anyway, Captain Robert McCullough of the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources said divers from his agency had been looking for the bodies in the Cooper River. The F-16 crashed about 5 miles away, according to McCullough. The Air Force also said that a team of investigators will convene to determine the cause of the accident. No further information is available at this time. All right. So that'll be something that I'll keep an eye on if it develops. Hopefully the alternative media picks up on that and finds great information that we can work on for you. Let me see here. From Collective Evolution, Pfizer vice president blows the whistle and tells the truth about the pharmaceutical industry. Below is a clip taken from the One More Girl documentary, a film regarding the Gardasil vaccine, which was designed to prevent human papillomavirus. In it, Dr. Peter Rost, MD, a former vice president of one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, Pfizer, shares the truth about the ties between the medical and pharmaceutical industry. Rost is a former vice president of Pfizer and whistleblower of the entire pharmaceutical industry in general. He is the author of The Whistleblower, Confessions of a Healthcare Hitman. So, now everybody knows that Confessions of an Economic Hitman was such a huge success, so now everybody has to be a something else hitman. I'm the healthcare hitman. next we'll have the auto industry hitman. Then we'll have the law enforcement hitman. Oh wait, we already have those. But anyway, considering his work experience, it would be an understatement to say that he is an insider expert on big pharma marketing. Below are a couple of quotes from both a former and current editor-in-chief of the two largest and what are considered to be the most credible medical journals in the world. It's only fitting to include them into the article as they are directly related to what Dr. Rost hints at in the video. And he's got a video here, and if it's not too long, which probably isn't, I will play it for you. We got about 3 minutes before the break, so it might come after the break. It is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reached slowly and reluctantly over my 2 decades as an editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. This is from Dr. Marcia Angel, a physician and longtime editor-in-chief of the New England Medical Journal. The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be the untrue, afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analysis, and flagrant conflicts of interest, together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance. Science has taken a turn toward darkness. Dr. Richard Horton, the current editor-in-chief of The Lancet, considered to be one of the most well-respected peer-reviewed medical journals in the world. Now, when you start getting people that give credibility to peer-reviewed journals, that's when you start hitting the fan real hard. Because peer-reviewed journals are kind of the thing that the intellectual communities in various branches of your sciences and medicines and psychologies and every other kind of research out there, the peer-reviewed journals are kind of like where they it's kind of like the Holy Gospel, if you will. It's like, you know, you want your letters to the church in the New Testament. You want your Federalist Papers, if you will. This is the standard for it, are those peer-reviewed journals. And we got RBN on the air. What's good, RBN? RBN, what's good?
Yeah, hey, you got a break?
We're about to hit the break, so be brief.
you want to? Could you get me out for the break?
Yeah, I could, but we got a minute, and I just reached the end of the statement, and I was going to get ready to play the video, which, with you killing time, I can hit play the video after the break.
Oh, you want me to call back about 10 minutes after the break?
No, I want you to speak your piece now.
Oh, okay. All right. Check it out. I used to fly around, and I remember I was screwing around, and I saw some skydivers, and I freaked out, and I turned, you know, like 60 degrees to the right and pitched down, you know, like 600 feet a minute.
Yeah.
And it freaked me out. But this guy, this F-16, he should have been in a military operations area, and that said would not be allowed inside of a military operations area. So I don't know. You know, the FAA is not going to let you know anything because it's under investigation. But there's something crazy going on with that, I got to say.
There probably is something funky going on. You know, like, the odds of the altitude being just right, the timing being just right, the location being just right, for all of those things, and a guy like that would have no reason to be going at like Mach speed and making like I suggested in my scenario, making these crazy like sharp turns, which is the only way that he would be getting into collision course before and not being able to see it coming by making these sharp turns, unless he was running some sort of an exercise, and he should have been running exercises way closer, way more on top of an Air Force base area. So yeah, I mean, maybe he was just joyriding. Look, it's entirely possible that he could have been sort of joyriding while doing another operation or just transporting his plane from one airbase to the other. I mean, there's various things that could be going on, or this could be related to Jade Helm. We don't know. Maybe the Air Force was targeting a guy. I mean, we got to see who the pilot was of that plane. If the pilot of that plane was somebody significant, then there's something going on here. If the pilot of the plane isn't anybody significant, then odds are it was some other form of a snafu that maybe we can learn something from. All right, we're about to hit the break.
All right, thanks a lot, Steve. Yeah, remember that Warthog that pilot was kind of questionable? He stole the Warthog, or he never returned with it. You could pull up that article, too. That was pretty wild. But anyway, okay, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Armin.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Imagine, just imagine.
Imagine a world
where every child and adult will have the opportunity to achieve their dreams.
I believe my inspiration is the answer.
My inspiration is the greatest light,
the greatest energy.
It was born when the universe was sparked into life.
It's within everything.
My inspiration transforms pain into happiness
and failure into success.
My inspiration inspires lives.
It inspires lives.
It inspires human lives.
My inspiration is always shining like the sun.
But it doesn't mean that it's alive.
For centuries, my inspiration was in prison.
In prison.
In prison.
It doesn't belong there.
Its home is to be known to all people.
My inspiration is in trouble.
We are fighting for its life right now.
Right this moment.
This moment.
Millions all over the world want to go beyond their limitations.
Liberate their dreams and reach success.
The failure of us all to be someone
is the biggest disease
of all time.
Each day our brothers and sisters die.
Please help us to birth this inspiration to life.
And that will stop this disease.
Help us get the word out of our inspiration.
Help us.
Help us.
It's our shared belief for a better future beyond the horizon.
Let's write the future.
Heroism is here.
Stand up and grasp it.
Stand up.
Stand up and grasp it.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up for the dreams of all people.
This is Nighthawk from Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now it's your time to stand up and make a difference or fade away.
What if there was a device, a medallion you could wear that was made from the science of tomorrow, a gift to us from another world, something that bordered on the edge of magic? Would you get one? Would you use it? Combining the power of pyramids, Cassegrain miniaturized satellite technology, the Fibonacci swirling pattern of our galaxy, embedded in all creation, and gemstones personalized to your body frequency. The Paradigm supernuclear receptor is that device. Combining all the elements of a super extraterrestrial science, it creates a shield around the living pranic and bioenergy of each and every cell in your body, and is reputed to protect and defend you from the harmful sea of radiation we swim in every day. From computers, cell phones, EMF, and Wi-Fi, never before have our bodies been so immersed in a more toxic ocean of electronic pollution. But the Paradigm supernuclear receptor is here to help protect you. Call right now and get tested for the gemstone that is just right for you.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Paradyne.com. That's P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
On the go? Still want to listen? Don't have one of those fancy phones with too many buttons? Don't know what an app is? Or you don't even care? Well, we got you here at Revolution Radio. Now you can dial in 24/7 to listen to our shows. We have a number for Studio A and Studio B, and best of all, it's free. Don't forget, your carrier charges for your cell phone provider may apply, though, so check with your cell provider to make sure. So ready? Here you go. Get a pen. Here's the number. Studio A is 712-432-6958, and Studio B is 716-748-0112. Thank you very much for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station in the world.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
We all say, I'm trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back, Revolution Radio. It's Strange Universe at first. All right, welcome back, everybody. I figured, okay, I've kind of got a mishmash of conversation going on, so a mishmash of music makes sense. My generation, which was the Who they were making commentary on the mods who were big on uppers, and that's why Daltrey was doing in his singing style, his cadence had all that stuttering because he was emulating the mods, and they were all popping pills, and the pills were getting them all stuttery like that. I think they were on amphetamines. I think that's what the mods were big on. They were an amphetamine culture. And then Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone. Why? Because we're talking about that F-16 quote-unquote accident. And with that being said, I've got 843 on the line. How's it going, 843?
Hey, you got me?
Yes, I got you here. What's up?
Right on. Hey, I live in the area where they had the crash with the F-16 pilot and the settler.
Okay, great. Let's get your what do you know? What's the scoop on the ground, sir? We're in the air,
well,
if you can.
I can tell you what I experience like on a weekly basis around here is you can hear these F-16s coming from Columbia to Charleston, and when they hit Mach 2 and they're flying so low, you can, it's like the sky is ripping apart. You can hear them from way off. And if you're outside and you're in an open area, you might be able to get out, you know, out there fast enough just to see that thing flash across the sky. But what happened was we have a small airport here, the Berkeley County Airport. It probably has maybe 2-3 hangars. It's nothing really big. But these guys, these pilots, they come ripping through here. And we have probably about, I would say, the better part of 100,000 acres of pine trees they grow around here. So it's basically, pretty much out in the boonies.
Yeah.
And that little local pot, that airport, is pretty much like right in the middle of all that. So I pretty much just think they feel like they got the lay of the land and they can hot dog if they want to. And that guy just, his number was up. He popped up out of the trees, and that pilot wasn't flying but so high. And, you know, it was just, you know, it was his time. I don't think there's any big conspiracy or anything behind it, because it's nothing for them guys to come through here, you know, just shredding the air.
Got it.
It happens like every week.
And certainly there's a, and certainly it could be nothing. It certainly could be, it could just be an accident based on these various kinds of habits, et cetera, et cetera. But you're saying it yourself that there's a small local airfield in the area, correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's the other thing that, it could be a it could be arrogance and negligence, but certainly it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, because you're going to expect there to be things exactly like Cessna 150s in a place where there's a small independent airfield. So even if you didn't know that there was a Cessna there, you need to be looking out for that, because you can expect there to be small civilian aircraft there. That's what's and that's the thing. It may not be a conspiracy, but at the very least, it's negligence. At the very least,
that's what we're all thinking it is, because yeah. we're all amazed around here that it hasn't happened by now. You know, it's been going on for years. These planes flying, you know, 200-300 feet overhead at Mach 2.
Right. I mean, this also isn't the first time that there's been some sort of funky Air Force type of accident. Like the last like year or two, there periodically would be these stories that would pop up of an Air Force plane crashing on American soil. There was a story in Florida that I recall, and it hit like a suburb or something. I think there was something with like a Black Hawk went down like the year before that, or or what have you, and all these things happen in suburban type residential area types, and I think that there's something to be said about there's a lot of issues with the budget of the military because they are spending a lot of money on overpriced toys, if you will, it's the F-26 or something, like whatever that new jet is that replaced the F-24.
They might be up in the 30s by now. I heard F-35.
Right. But the point is, they got that those super cool looking jets. You know, they're like Corvettes in the air, and they underperform. They require retarded amounts of maintenance and technical work because of the computer electronic equipment on board, and they don't produce the results that our Air Force and that our military needs right now. If you hadn't noticed, there's almost no military in the world that has a dogfighting army out there that we need to respond in kind with. And now we've got these big jets that, like, you know, for the most part, they serve as air support, but they're not there to do anything. You don't need the highly maneuverable fighter jet that's really meant for air-to-air combat. You need some, sure, you know, for that day that, you know, that may unfortunately happen. And this is putting all conspiracies aside. Let's say that we did need to go to war with, like, say, Russia, and that it wasn't a conspiracy, just for the sake of argument, right? You know, Russia may have some really cool air gear that we may need to do some dogfighting with. But then again, you can also look at the assessment of how much they're actually going to have, being a country that's just now getting out of third world status and getting back to being a prideful, developed country on the market. With its own respectable military again, it's still not exactly what the United States is. So all I'm saying is that there's something that it's our job as the media to we have to be the watchdogs of government, you know.
Well, one more thing I find peculiar about this particular crash is the fact that he made it to the Cooper River and put it in the river, because there's quite a bit, you know, a few bodies of water around here, rivers and lakes and such. And to me, I'm thinking, you know, he's on that, you know, from the time he hit that plane, Mach 2, he's on that river pretty quick. So I think he was still in control, but I bet you his landing gear wasn't coming out, so he had to choose that river. But, you know, because the Air Force base is before the river. So I guess I'm just thinking that he was still in control of that plane, but maybe he wasn't able to land it, and he just had to choose the river.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, like, odds are, you know, you're talking about, like, a tank running over a sedan, and the odds of the tank sustaining damage running over a sedan is nil. And this is kind of like the equivalent of that, although things can always be hairy in the air, because especially if debris gets in the intake valve, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you know, wings have to be of a certain thickness, and a aircraft overall has to be a certain weight. And although the fighter is going to be way heavier, made out of a better reinforced material, it's not going to be bulletproof the way a tank is. And so there's a good chance that the reason why, like I said, drawing suspicion at the fact that he had the chance to eject and whatever, is that, you know, he devastated the Cessna, but then took damage on that reality stated was not going to get saved. And so he had to eject, kind of. Yeah, it's a number of things. It's a number of things to be concerned about.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Oh, hey, can I interrupt?
You got it. I think he's just about set. So,
what was the name of that airport again? He said
It was in Berkeley County Airport. Oh, okay. Because there's a big military operations area there. It, like, pilots know that, like, just watch out.
There's like, all kinds of military around this part of the state, yeah.
But it's on the map. I mean, I'm just saying that, like, there's little routes. They're like lines across the aviation map, and then there's a big chunk of real estate, like about the size of several cities north of Charleston, right. that's it's all military. Meaning, you know, it's like just watch out, watch your back type thing.
I gotcha. That's probably all that, where they're growing all them pine trees. Really over 100,000 acres easy.
Yeah, you can see on the map it doesn't look like there's a lot of like lights at night, you know.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Hi, Steve. Hey, it's Lone Frog, by the way.
Say again?
This is Lone Frog, by the way.
Long Prong?
Lone Frog. I'm Lone Frog.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Later, dude.
All right. Take care.
Oh, so sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to ask that guy exactly which airport he mentioned. But
no. That's a good question, because if that brings any knowledge to light, such as what you added, that's great. What can I do?
But another thing to add is, you know, I'm kind of just saying maybe it was the Cessna's fault, but like the military guys, they have like they can never get in trouble if they're on official duty doing anything in the U.S. aviation wise. You know, I mean, if they're screwing around, that's one thing, but.
Well, let me.
You know,
say,
if they're on official duty and somebody dies or something happens, it's like, sorry, we're the government. We can do it.
Right. And let me. As far as this being the Cessna's fault, look, unless he was specifically told you're not supposed to be here at this time, or at this altitude, then it's not Cessna's fault at all. It is the military's
fault. Yeah, I mean, basically, the faster person should be the guy that sees. What's in front of him, too.
The only reason why the faster person wouldn't, especially because the only way these things happen is by head-on collision, one versus the other, is that they do a wild maneuver, and then when they make that turn, then they see the Cessna. And I'm going to assume that a Cessna may be off radar based on maybe its size and its altitude or something, maybe, per se. I don't know exactly how that works because... You know, I'd imagine that there'd be a radar and that the Cessna would show up as a blip on the goddamn radar.
Yeah, but the guy might not be talking, you know, all the time to the military pilot, and the other pilot might not be talking to a tower, you know, out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Well, the military pilot needs to be talking to a tower at all times. It's just the nature.
Not if he's on a route. It's like if he's on a military route, he's like, I'm cleared to go Mach 2 on this route. And, you know, I don't need talk to anyone because that's what the route is for.
Is that how Air Force official protocol is, or are you just guessing?
I know if you see those gray lines I was talking about on the map, you want to watch out, you know. And they're kind of easy to ignore.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough, but I'm just saying that if it is Air Force policy or protocol, you know, to say, oh, hey, you might as well, everything's fine, just cut off your radio. For like, why would you cut off your radio for any goddamn reason? I mean, but you just wouldn't.
I don't think if you were, the whole point is they're training to do dogfights or whatever the heck.
Sure.
And if the air traffic controller says, hey, there's a plane in the area. What are they going to do? Cancel it? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Why would you be doing your training where civilian traffic is going? And wouldn't you need to? You wouldn't have to inform the NTSB. You'd have to inform the FAA. Hey, listen, we're training during this time at this place.
There's a way that a private pilot can find that stuff out by calling. It's kind of the private pilot's duty to be like, hey, is this military activation area? Is it hot or is it cold? You know, and they'll be like, you know, some of them are hot all year long, but you know what I'm saying?
But that creates a bunch of needless problems. That, you know, it's like, you know, that's like, you know, that's like saying. That's like, you can't sit there and say this area is restricted airspace and then not broadcast that it's restricted airspace. When that pilot shows up at the airfield, somebody needs to go up to that pilot and inform them, hey, listen, while you're up in the air today, stay clear of these coordinates. Air Force training is occurring at this time. We need to get answers to these questions.
They kind of do that if you call for like a weather briefing for the FAA. Briefing. It's a long process, but
I get that.
I don't really know for sure. I'm just throwing out some information.
Exactly.
That's funny. All right, I'm kind of losing you though, so I'll talk to you later, man. Have a good day.
All right. Whatever. 336, you're on the air. 336. Who that and where you at? Hello, 336. Caller 336, area code 336. Going once? Going twice? All right, three strikes, you're out. I'm sorry, buddy. All right. Now, I think I saw... Do we have one more caller on the air here? Because I sworn I saw somebody else call in. No? Okay, I guess it's okay then. There it is. Let me see. I'm getting all sorts of messages. Friend of the show, Feather Wild, says, "Hey, Steve, there are in the States no fly zones. That means no access for private pilots, which my dad was one. It is up to the pilot to make sure they are in no fly zones in the area." And I get that. It's up to the pilot, but it's up to everybody to let them know if they're setting up a no fly zone. Now, that article on ABC didn't say anything about no fly zones.
Steve Travesty.
Okay, there we are. 336. How's it going?
Shit. Why won't he get my call? Hello.
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 I'm here, Steven.
Hello. What's up?
You hear me?
Right, yep, you're coming in and out.
All right. Now I think
your audio's in and out.
Now just me.
Before I saw somebody else call in.
No. You got to speak directly into your receiver.
What are you talking about?
You got to turn off your radio because I hear all sorts of background music as well, and it's distracting.
No access for private pilots, which.
What do you think about right now?
Dude, you gotta kill it. Oh my god. All right, we'll figure this out. Anyway, oh man, what a pain in the butt. Let's see, we're about 2-3 minutes from break here. And so I went back to the ABC article real quick just to double check, like I said. On the names, and the only thing I know is are they haven't released the name of the pilot of the Cessna, because we've got Aaron Johnson. He was the guy who was piloting the F-16. Captain Robert McCullough was leading the expedition that was looking for the people that were in the Cessna, but we don't have the names of the people in the Cessna. Usually they release names, to my knowledge. So, you know, okay. So now this story is getting a little bit more interesting. So let me do a search here. F-16 crash. Let me do a quick search. Okay. Let's see if Communist News Network knows a damn thing about who was flying the Cessna. All right. See, it's a very short story. Investigate the incident. All right, I'm going to do a little bit of research on this. We are going to get back to the Pfizer story, too. Callers had some good input.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries.
I said I didn't get any. Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please come back when you can afford to make a purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're
having
trouble.
Come on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
What if there was a device, a medallion you could wear, that was made from the science of tomorrow? A gift to us from another world. Something that bordered on the edge of magic. Would you get one? Would you use it? Combining the power of pyramids, Cassegrain miniaturized satellite technology, the Fibonacci swirling pattern of our galaxy, embedded in all creation, and gemstones personalized to your body frequency. The Paradyne supernuclear receptor is that device. Combining all the elements of a super extraterrestrial science, it creates a shield around the living pranic and bioenergy of each and every cell in your body, and is reputed to protect and defend you from the harmful sea of radiation we swim in every day. From computers, cell phones, EMF, and Wi-Fi, never before have our bodies been so immersed in a more toxic ocean of electronic pollution. Paradyne supernuclear receptor is here to help protect you. Call right now and get tested for the gemstone that is just right for you.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Paradyne.com. That's Pyradyne.
Take a look around, kid. What do you see? Homes being foreclosed. People working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table and still drowning in debt. Don't get me wrong. This country is founded on great ideals and principles. We've all been ruined by the banks. Open your eyes to the banks that are robbing you. You know who my favorite president was?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson. Because he saw all of this coming and tried to stop it. He fought the banks. JFK too, and they killed him for it. The banking institution is more dangerous than an army, he said. He also said that every generation needs a revolution, Jimmy. The American dream is just that. Just a dream. War is a continuation of politics, only by other means. Politics is a continuation of economics by other means. This is our bank. This is our war. And this is our plan of attack.
Banks have become an essential threat to our democracy. So consider this justice.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
On the go? Still want to listen? Don't have one of those fancy phones with too many buttons? Don't know what an app is? Or you don't even care? Well, we got you here at Revolution Radio. Now you can dial in 24/7 to listen to our shows. We have a number for Studio A and Studio B, and best of all, it's free. Don't forget, your carrier charges for your cell phone provider may apply, though, so check with your cell provider to make sure. So ready? Here you go. Get a pen. Here's the number. Studio A is 712-432-6958, and Studio B is 716-748-0112. Thank you very much for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station in the world.
This is Lorian Fenton from the Fenton Perspective. You're listening to Revolution Radio. And now we take you back to Strange Universe with your host, Sean David
Radio. Gotta play a little bit of Wagner. Some Apocalypse Now. Ride of the Valkyries. Which is more appropriate for helicopters riding over your horizon. But whatever, it fits. Welcome back. We are Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. A 100% listener supported station. So please help us out. Hook us up. Show some love. Hit the site support button. Send us a check or PayPal order if you so choose. A $75 donation gets your choice of a 1 ounce silver bar or a Revolution Radio ball cap. Just write in your donation note which you prefer, but any $75 donation gives you that. Welcome back, everybody. We have been going over at the moment this F-16 and Cessna crash that has occurred, and I want to give the floor to Tony Pashuk, who's called in. My buddy Tony, how's it going?
Pretty good. With tires squealing outside and everything.
I just wanted to call in because I would like to make a correction, and this is kind of important to me because this is the way information gets wildly distorted. F-16s can't do Mach 2 at sea level to start with. So, and this is really important, is that military jets over populated areas are not allowed to break the sound barrier. The sound barrier is Mach 1. The reason is because it breaks windows.
Yes.
Okay, so let's set the speed thing aside and discuss a little bit about military airspace versus civilian airspace. This is laid out in all the maps that pilots get for navigation. And the thing that I have concern about, especially in these areas where Air Force bases are very near civilian airports, is that there is a protocol the military must follow. And so the air traffic, because of the differing speeds between civilian aircraft and military aircraft, is quite large. That's problematic. And what I'm seeing is that pilot error on the military pilot's part is pretty obvious in this case. You know, mid-airing with a civilian aircraft is unbelievable that even happened. Not saying there's a conspiracy, but somebody super effed up, and it was the military pilot.
I agree. Based entirely on the equipment that you're using, the performance and the resources at hand, there is zero reason for that to
He shouldn't have been that low over. And my understanding is at this point, and more information is needed, is that he shouldn't have been anywhere near a civilian airport that low that fast. For just this reason.
Yeah, precisely. What I am going to say right now, though, is that until we get the names of the Cessna pilots, that I think that we've gotten this story well covered until the names of the Cessna pilots are up. And if the names are of important human beings, then we can start
looking at conspiracy. Yeah,
exactly. Up until that point, then this is just a... this is something more akin to what is wrong with our military's nature in general, which is just them doing what they got to do, and you know, civilians being of little consequence in certain respects. This is also, and
I can't stress this enough because I've had my own personal experiences over this last month, seeing military helicopters on at least 5 different occasions in extremely tight formation, very low altitude, cruising around the city of Seattle. This is conditioning for us to accept this military presence in a civilian space. And it happened again this last weekend when I was all the way out in this very idyllic little community called Port Townsend, which is out in Puget Sound. And I was at a little tiny airport there. And the reason I was there is because they have this beautiful museum that was built by this guy who is putting together this school basically for teens to work on antique aircraft, and they have restored a number of aircraft there, and they're absolutely beautiful. And each year that I go to Port Townsend, I make sure I go to visit that museum. While I was standing in the museum library talking to an old timer, this guy is like 85 years old, used to barnstorm back in the 50s. He's nearly deaf from listening to the short exhaust acts on radial engines all his life. But I had a wonderful hour-long conversation with him. And as we're standing there in the library, a Black Hawk comes and lands between their asphalt and grass strip, powers down, throws open the doors, and just sits there. And I'm really watching this guy because I know what's going on, or at least I think I have some pieces to what's going on. And I ask him, have you ever seen this before? And he said, I have been here a while, and this is the first time I have ever seen that. It's conditioning.
Yeah.
For us to accept something we would not normally accept. And by doing so, that military presence showing up all over the place, getting people conditioned, it's just a change of color for the UN copters to come in and be hovering around. Do you get it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I've already seen one UN copter here, and that just blew my mind. And it wasn't a little one. It was a big Chinook, the big twin rotor helicopters that all you have to do is Google it or
when I was
Google image it, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. CH-54 Chinook.
When I was at the Canes, I was only like a mile or so away from an Air Force base, and literally at least one Chinook a day. I saw one of the new Hueys fly over once, and I saw an A-10 Warthog once. It was kind of cool. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, make no mistake, I love our military, but man, I have gotten to a point where I'm so thoroughly disgusted with the misuse of our military, the misuse of the personnel when they return, and the thing that America is going to have to face soon is that we have become the pariah of the planet. The stuff that our military is doing around the planet is abominable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is why all these veterans, and this is just my kind of take on it, not only are they suffering from PTSD when they come back, but they're also suffering from a spiritual malady that they know some of the stuff they've done absolutely was evil. They know that.
Yeah.
And that's why the military morale now is at an all-time low.
So Tony. Hold on.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I can go on.
There's a lot of show, a lot of things I do want to cover. And
sorry,
like I said,
what was your other topic?
So we're all set on this Air Force story and what.
Sure.
I do want to get into some of the things, and I do have another caller.
Okay.
Before I jump into my next topic, 843.
Hey, Steve, Lone Frog again.
Yes.
I did a little digging, man. I found out the name of the pilots.
Of the Cessna. I need the Cessna pilots' names.
Yeah, the Cessna pilots.
Okay, what do we got?
It was father and son,
okay.
Joe and Mike Johnson. And they lived in this area for a long time. He was retired, and his son just went out with him. It was
Joe
going out for a joyride.
Uh-huh. Were they?
And another thing I found out was that the Monk's Corner Airport, the Berkeley County Airport,
uh-huh.
It has radio, but it doesn't even have a tower.
Okay. Well, yeah, very small airport or whatever, but you know, everybody knows that it's there, though. I get that. And not to mention, the military has radios, and the military can radio a Cessna and be like, "What are you doing in here?" Because they also have radar, and they'll pick up the Cessna on the radar, and they can tell the Cessna, "What are you doing in here? We got planes that are flying over right now. They're going to hurt you."
Yeah.
But Joe and Mike Johnson, was the father of any renown? Was he like anybody special? Like, did he like run a company, et cetera, et cetera?
He moved here from out of town. He retired here, and he opened a contractor business for a while. And I think his son took over, but just two regular guys.
Two regular guys. Okay, right.
Yeah, that's all I had, man.
So that's probably all that there is to it then, until anything else comes to light. All right, thank you very much. I'm going to move on from this story now, because there's other things that the world needs to know.
Right on. Later.
All right. So now, as I promised, I'm going to get back to this Pfizer story, and I'm just going to jump right into at least an excerpt of This is the former vice president of Pfizer blowing the whistle on basically the pharmaceutical industry. Hold on a moment.
Yeah, this is a very important one. I saw that headline, too.
Yep, this is 2.5 minutes. I'm just going to run the whole thing.
Yeah.
Hold on, it's loading.
Universities, health organizations, everybody that I've encountered.
Hold on a second. It's freezing on me a little bit. Probably because I have like a fudge ton worth of stuff up. Let me close. I had a bunch of things related to the F-16 story that I'm not going to play, so let me kill those. All right, let's try this again.
In my former career as a pharmaceutical executive, are out there with their hands out. You know, everybody's begging for money. Nobody has any money. The government doesn't have any money. Universities don't have money. Nobody's money. The only ones that have money are these big multinational corporations. And they have lots of money. And they use that money to basically buy influence. And the way it's done is, number one, you give these organizations and institutions grants for various kinds of research. You do develop research together with them. You establish friends. You make sure that they become beholden to you. And you also pay individual professors and doctors and researchers directly. You may pay them as speakers to travel around the country, $1,000, $2,000 per day, sometimes more. Give them money for programs, that the educational programs where they can make a profit, and then they put on these programs, and they're supposed to be third party independent from the company, which is all fine. But as you and I can both imagine, if you have a promotional budget at a corporation, you're probably going to give that money to the universities that do the programs that most support your drug. And the ones that don't or are critical in any shape, way, or form, they're not going to get anything. And everybody obviously knows that this is how things work. And that means that even if you can officially claim, well, this is arm's length, we didn't have anything to do with it, we just gave them a grant, they can do whatever they want with it, reality is they're not going to continue to get money unless they're saying what you want them to say. They know it, you know it. It's only maybe the public that doesn't know it. And that's how you influence the medical establishment, simply with money.
Can I actually exaggerate on that point?
Well, you can wait
in Australia.
You can wait to be called on, Aust, but thanks for calling back in. Aust,
sorry,
aren't you? What would you like to say?
Yeah, in Australia, we lost $30 billion through the Greece stock market. And then we gained maybe one third of that back. And then they go, oh, then we lost even more, right? But they say, oh, in the stock markets and Dow's and this and that. Oh, I wish I had the crow here to say how well we lost it because I missed the crow and the Crow's report, he'd go, well, with the Australian dollar, well, you know. But the best part about that is they wanted us to go down to about 70 cents. We're about 75 cents on the US dollar, which is cool because that makes us more feasible to actually trade around the world. So it's not a bad thing because in Australia, our dollar hasn't changed. You know, even when the stock market goes down in the US, your dollar doesn't change. It's only the greedy people who bump up the prices. And, well, I'm not allowed to swear or whatnot, so, yeah. It starts with A.
Okay. Well, there you go. Thank you, Aust. Let me run. I'm going to run a little bit more. Let me double check because sometimes my Skype acts funky. Are there any callers on the air? Because my Skype might be not showing me calls that are currently sitting here. I got Tony. I got Aust on the air. Are there any phone calls here that have been waiting patiently? Okay, I don't believe so. All right, that's good. So let me continue. There's a little bit more to this article that is a bit revealing. It's 2005, Dr. John P.A. Ioannidis, currently a professor in disease prevention at Stanford University, published the most widely accessed article in the history of the Public Library of Science, entitled "Why Most Published Research Findings Are False." In the report, he states, "There is increasing concern that most current published research findings are false. We now have a large amount of evidence and statements from experts that come directly from the field, which paint a very concerning picture. The science used to educate doctors and develop medicine is flawed. We are only ever exposed to studies that have been sponsored by big pharmaceutical companies, but these studies are not designed to take the long view. They are not designed to detect problems that can occur years or even decades after treatment, or examine the risk of taking drugs for long periods of time. Nobody ever seems to mention or acknowledge the many studies which clearly show significant risk associated with many of the products that pharmaceutical companies are manufacturing to help fight disease. What is even more concerning in the general population's lack of awareness when it comes to these facts. This issue is definitely not going to be addressed in the mainstream news. And despite plenty of evidence to support it, some people will refuse to even look at or acknowledge that it exists. This is a big problem. Our world is changing, and we must keep an open mind and be open to new possibilities regarding the nature of our world. It's 2015, and as we keep moving forward, there will be more information coming out that changes the deeply held ingrained belief systems of many. It's okay to look at information that goes against what you believe. In fact, it's needed if we are going to move forward and create a better world for ourselves. You would think the statements above the video from longtime editors of such major peer-reviewed scientific journals, apparently the best in the world, would at least get some mainstream attention. When Dr. Rost was still working on Pfizer, he had a couple of appearances in the mainstream media. Here is an example of him speaking with the Wall Street Journal almost 10 years ago before he blew the whistle. This is why alternative media is important, especially in a time where more and more people are waking up to what is really happening on our planet. It's time to examine the research that's being conducted all over the world from experts at various institutions that is not sponsored by these giants, multinational health corporations. The independent literature, brilliant work is being published regarding various drugs, cures, treatments, vaccines, and more. Thanks for reading, and I hope the video above gives you something to think about. That's the story. And while I've got my friends sitting here, Ospaul, Tony, what do you think? Anyway,
go, Tony. He's laughing his ass off with no mute. Yeah, he's muted himself. It's quite amusing. I can see him in the background.
He's turned his video.
Oh, there I am.
There you are.
Here he is.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most challenging things emotionally for me is the propaganda parrot, otherwise known as lamestream media. I do see the alternative media as at least offering another avenue for getting out factual information, but we are also very well aware that the COINTELPRO has got its fingers into everything. There is no exception. So I think that the ongoing challenge for all of us is that how do we get a free press again? And I don't know, I think we're so far down the road, I just don't see that happening anytime soon. Although...
Well...
We're doing it on Revolution Radio. Thank you, Tony. This is fantastic.
The free press will be about us rising up and...
Yeah, I agree. And I absolutely
agree. It will either force them to legitimize or will overthrow them. Share time with them.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Imagine, just imagine.
Imagine a world
where every child and adult will have the opportunity to achieve their dreams.
I believe my inspiration is the answer.
My inspiration is the greatest light,
the greatest energy.
It was born when the universe was sparked to life.
It's within everything.
My inspiration transforms pain into happiness
and failure into success.
My inspiration inspires lives.
It inspires lives.
It inspires human lives.
My inspiration is always shining like the sun.
But it doesn't mean that it's alive.
For centuries, my inspiration was in prison.
In prison.
In prison.
It doesn't belong there.
Its home is to be known to all people.
My inspiration is in trouble.
We are fighting for its life right now.
Right this moment.
This moment.
Millions all over the world want to go beyond their limitations.
Liberate their dreams and reach success.
The failure of us all to be someone
is the biggest disease
of all time.
Each day our brothers and sisters die.
Please help us to birth this inspiration to life.
And that will stop this disease.
Help us get the word out of our inspiration.
Help us.
Help us.
It's our shared belief for a better future beyond the horizon.
Let's write the future.
Heroism is here.
Stand up and grasp it.
Stand up.
Stand up and grasp it.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up for the dreams of all people.
This is Nighthawk from Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and now it's your time to stand up and make a difference or fade away.
What if there was a device, a medallion you could wear that was made from the science of tomorrow, a gift to us from another world, something that bordered on the edge of magic? Would you get one? Would you use it? Combining the power of pyramids, Cassegrain miniaturized satellite technology, the Fibonacci swirling pattern of our galaxy, embedded in all creation, and gemstones personalized to your body frequency. The Paradyne supernuclear receptor is that device. Combining all the elements of a super extraterrestrial science, it creates a shield around the living pranic and bioenergy of each and every cell in your body, and is reputed to protect and defend you from the harmful sea of radiation we swim in every day. From computers, cell phones, EMF, and Wi-Fi, never before have our bodies been so immersed in a more toxic ocean of electronic pollution. But the Paradyne supernuclear receptor is here to help protect you. Call right now and get tested for the gemstone that is just right for you.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Paradyne.com. That's Pyradyne.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
On the go? Still want to listen? Don't have one of those fancy phones with too many buttons? Don't know what an app is? Or you don't even care? Well, we got you here at Revolution Radio. Now you can dial in 24-7 to listen to our shows. We have a number for Studio A and Studio B, and best of all, it's free. Don't forget, your carrier charges for your cell phone provider may apply, though, so check with your cell provider to make sure. So ready? Here you go. Get a pen. Here's the number. Studio A is 712-432-6958. And Studio B is 716-748-0112. Thank you very much for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station in the world.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio. And now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
Okay, now Steve, SEM would say this is fantastic music.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry about that interruption. Aust likes to do that, and Aust, you know, look, I know you. You do this all the time, so you're not coming back on, you know? All right, you interrupted me before, you're interrupting. You're in the middle of this. You're going to be belligerent. Can't do it. You're ruining the fun and the atmosphere, man. Stop being a jackass. Anyway, that was Megadeth, Use the Man, which was a song about drug abuse. And then this is Marilyn Manson, I Don't Like the Drugs, But the Drugs Like Me, a song about drug abuse. Both of them came out in the 90s, and both of them were about people using drugs, but the drugs using them. Literally, they were both saying the same thing in completely different lyrical fashions and musical stylings. And so I figured that was quite pertinent to the subject matter at hand. I'm still here with Tony Pashek hanging out. Strange Universe, last half hour, and then two more hours of me on Ghosts in the Machine. Because, you know, Sean has to pick a Tuesday. Of course he has. Why wouldn't he pick a Tuesday? Anyway, I got to do something about that.
You know, an interesting, Steve, an interesting comparison and statistics might be worthwhile versus the drug deaths, recreational drug deaths, if you want to call it that, versus pharmaceutical drug deaths.
The
statistics would be ridiculous.
You know, it's the free market. You know, it's just I mean, like, heroin will kill you, usually really, 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 really slowly, you know, through self-medication. And so, therefore, yeah, heroin's going to kill you, but not as shockingly as prescription drugs are going to kill you.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, maybe I'll do that while I'm listening, is look up the statistics, pharmaceuticals versus the recreational.
I cannot let you do heroin. I am opposed.
I said look up the statistics.
I know, but the context was too perfect.
Okay. Run with it, baby. Run with it.
And JP just joined us. JP, you're not supposed
JP?
To be. Yeah, I know. I'm not supposed to be here, right?
That's Spoda. That's right.
Oh, Spoda.
I'm not supposed to be here, but you have an uncanny psychic ability, Steve.
I do.
It's really weird because
sometimes,
you know, I'm here and I go see my girlfriend on a Tuesday. Sometimes. And sometimes I'm here and sometimes I'm not. And sometimes when you're here, when I'm here, you're like, oh, are you around for tonight? And it's like, oh, I don't know. I thought I was going to get a lift into town to see her, but I didn't. And here I am. So.
Well, look, this isn't me. This is Sean. Like, Sean's the one that, like, all of a sudden. Like,
you're not Sean. You're not Sean. I recognize Sean's voice. You're Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't try and kid me. This is like you're trying to mess my head, aren't you?
Is that Sean's not here? Like, I would have rather Sean have been here, like, just because it's Tuesday. I'm doing 4 hours straight now.
Oh, Tuesday, heavy metal day.
Well,
you know, it was always heavy metal day because nobody else wanted to go out on Tuesdays. But the heavy metal
break, I did do heavy metal only because they were two of the most apropos songs that I knew off the top of my head for the subject matter at hand.
No. I mean, really, it is because what happens is this is as a gigging musician, like there were places where you go and they'd have different genres every different night. And like Friday night was like, you know, good fun music, and Saturday night was like hardcore. And, you know, and Tuesday was the night that nobody ever went out apart from the your people, Steve.
My people,
your people, the people with the things and the, yeah, you know, the all that.
A gig or some dive bar was hosting some sort of an event. Otherwise, we don't go out. We stay at home. We smoke pot and listen to music.
Yeah, well, you go out, you smoke pot, and you drink special brew. That's what you do in Britain.
It's usually Jaeger.
All right. Do you know what Carlsberg Special Brew is?
No.
You should try it one day. Just one. Just buy one can. That's all you need for a night.
One can.
And it's like kind of beer soup. If you imagine concentrating beer down to make it more strong, taking the water out of beer to make it like more like a sherry. That's what Special Brew is.
Interesting.
It's and if you want to get brain dead, it's really quite cheap to get brain dead on, and that's why they buy it. So they drink Special Brew. They call them the Brew Crew eventually. But they drink Special Brew and smoke pot and bang their heads.
I find it amusing in the chat room that Thunderbird thinks I just played death metal. Thunderbird, you obviously never actually listen to me when I go all out. If you want to,
you know when your ears bleed, that's death metal
during Ghost in the Machine. You want to know what freaking death metal sounds like?
Not now.
I'll do it. I like doing it. I don't do it all the time, but I'll do it
now. Not now. In your show.
Don't you have some other news that you're supposed to be iterating at this point?
Yeah, but also okay. Said callers could call in, and as long as we're not talking about the F-16 right now. But so JP, did you just call in to tell me that psychically I have this knack of making you available to be here, or did you have something to say? JB?
Oh, man, you killed Spoda.
That was just my introduction. Hi. Hi, Tony.
See, that's my point. See, I knew that was just his introduction.
I spoded out.
What's going on?
I outspoded you.
You out?
I think I've outspoded you by Spoda being there, and I'm Spoda being my girlfriend's.
Well, I'm
and I ain't
money to be
and
Spoda.
I'm Spoda get a spanking now.
Well, that's not my fault.
GP, you're split Spoda now.
I'm divided amongst my people. Yeah, I was just doing a show, and they said, "Oh, yes, you're in for the people. You're not for the self. You're in for the groups and the service to others and all that stuff." And yeah, that's true. So true. Anyway, enough about me.
Yeah, enough about you. But you had something productive to say. You're just going to sit here and...
I've always got something productive to say. Where should we go? Is there anything that's pressing at the moment that needs some fixing?
Okay, CC, now you're just going to ask me questions. All right, well, yeah.
Yeah, I want to engage you because you want to just sit back and roll one up. And probably haven't even got to the roach yet.
Look, see, you've... You're not supposed to be the one that disintegrates the energy in the room. You're the one. Now you've disintegrated the energy in the room. I had a whole thing going on here, and then you just come in, waltz right in like that.
What was your thing? I'll bring the thing. I'll revive the thing. I'll give it the kiss of life.
Shamanic, insightful, the JP really? That we all know and love. And you coming in here and being like...
Well, you're in charge this time.
And, you're just going to come in here and tease me. And I'm fine with being teased, but, don't tease me on airtime. We got things to do.
All right, round table.
This is not what round table. It's open lines. This is not a round table.
Yeah, but you were talking about stuff, weren't you?
I was.
And what was the stuff you were talking about? Because you were kind of squeaking. And I thought, I'll just tune in. I thought, I'll help Steve.
I was thinking to the next subject, in fact. Let's move on to the next subject then. From LibertyBlitzkrieg.com, cronyism pays. Eric, too big to jail holder, triumphantly returns to his prior corporate law firm job. I thought we'd just keep up with a quick story on what the shills of the elite scumbags are up to. This was posted yesterday by Michael Krieger. Trying to determine Barack Obama's most corrupt crony appointee presents a virtually impossible task. Every single person he's appointed to a position of power over the course of his unfathomably shady, violent, and unconstitutional presidency has been little more than a gatekeeper for powerful vested interests. Obama's job was to talk like a Marxist, but act like a robber baron. In this regard, his reign has been an unprecedented success. Hold on a moment. Okay, all that said, if anyone is a top contender for the worst of the worst of the Obama administration, it's Eric Holder. Yeah, I'd agree. The mere fact that he's an attorney does that for him. But anyway, as head of the Department of Justice, he was the one man who could have played an enormously positive role in American society by punishing those responsible for creating the financial crisis that destroyed tens of millions of lives globally. Instead, he chose to actively protect the financial oligarchs and ushered in a tragic new era for these United States, one in which the world suddenly realized that the U.S. is little more than a glorified oligarchy, essentially an aggressive banana republic armed with nuclear weapons and the swagger of a third world dictator. Holder's list of failures and evidence, shameless cronyism, are virtually endless. I've covered many of them on this site. And then he puts down six links. I'll just give you the link titles. The U.S. Department of Justice handles banker criminals like juvenile offenders. Eric Holder announces task force to focus on domestic terrorists. Eric Holder and the DOJ have spent millions of taxpayer dollars on unreported personal travel. Elizabeth Warren confronts Eric Holder, Ben Bernanke, and many Joe White on bankster immunity. Even Washington, D.C. insiders admit Eric Holder is a bankster puppet And lastly, Eric Holder claims emails using words fast and furious don't refer to Operation Fast and Furious. And those are the titles of six articles that this guy has written on Eric Holder alone. I'm going to pause for a moment. We have a new caller, 201. Who dat, where you at?
Hi, Steven.
This Hello.
Dan the Man.
Who's this?
Dan the Man.
Dan the Man. What's up, Dan the Man?
Hey, Steven.
Yes?
Is everything all right with Sean?
Sean's fine. He's just in Mexico an extra day doing some scouting to expand his base of dental assets.
I see. All right. I mean, like, you know, I worry about him, and you're doing like a superb job. Like, you know, I'll never forget us together and seeing you fly through the air over at the expo. I'll never forget that.
Oh yeah, that's
right. I told
right.
that to my family. They didn't believe me.
Yeah. He was there. He was one of the witnesses to me being to being punched in the soul by Master Chief A. Long, which was
awesome. And you didn't even remember, man. Remember, Stephen, your feet left the floor. You were flying through the air about 10 feet and hit the wall.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
The crazy thing is that like whatever this guy did to me. It's like I did not realize I went 10 feet in the air. It felt and looked like, from my perspective, like I only went about 2 feet back. Everybody else had to tell me I jumped 10 feet. I didn't believe it.
Easy 10 feet. Easy. And right. your feet were off the ground and you slammed into the wall. And I said, oh, my God, I hope the poor boy's back is all right.
Yeah. Like, no, I was the only guy in the room that wasn't like some sort of like, you know, like some sort of like vegan new age, like wussy or something like that. You know, I actually looked like I had like density to my body. So
wasn't that scary, though?
So I was an impressive person to be hit.
how about if the government used him on a subway platform if they wanted to kill somebody? And all they'd have to do is have him come up to hit him and point his finger on his chest. Boom, here comes the train. Here goes the guy. I mean, I think of these things because I'm insane, but, like, you know, the technology that they have.
Here's the thing. You wouldn't have to do a train. Like, dude, you get a kung fu master not because you need to punch a guy in the path of a train. You get a kung fu master so that way you can punch a guy and stop his heart. That's what you get a kung fu master for. you want somebody who can stop a guy's heart.
He was a kung fu master, huh?
Yeah, that was the whole point. But listen, thank you, Dan, so much. I'm working on this little Eric Holder story here.
Eric was popular, yeah, right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna work on this. I thank you so much for your support.
Oh, you're a hell of a... I tell you, Stephen, you're brilliant, and you're brilliant. I agree with you. 97%.
97%. All right.
They're lucky to have you on Revolution Radio. Believe me when I tell you.
Thank you so much, and you try to keep that attitude of yours up, okay, man? Because I know you can be real. You can be very, very. You can feel a lot of despair, Stephen, and you deserve better than that. You deserve better than to feel the hopelessness of the New World Order drowning upon you, okay? You deserve so much better than that. We all do. None of us deserve to feel like Jade Helm is going to end us or this financial crash is going to destroy us and put us on breadlines. None of us deserve to either feel that right now or to project that into our future. All right, Dan?
Thank you. Thank you so much for those words, Stephen. God bless you. You're a fellow patriot.
You too. May you be blessed.
Thank you.
All righty. Dan the Man, everybody. Good guy. Met him at one of the New Life Expos in New York that I visited. He's also from New York.
He saw you flying, man.
Saw me fly, man. Yeah, I tried to get the video from Master Chief's people. They wanted $20, and $20 isn't that much, but I, at the same time, I didn't have it. It's just like, oh man, I gotta pay $20 to see me get my butt kicked. Aw. You know, it's just like, so I couldn't have just posted it on YouTube for me from some cell phone somewhere. But anyway.
Well, Steve, actually, this is a very positive experience for you because you levitated.
That must have been it. The point is that I experienced missing time. That's how hard he hit me.
Do you know what it is? You know what he did? What he did was to generate gravity, because all of the things that you just said, that's all the effects of a gravity generation moment. So he actually created gravity through his. And that would be counter rotating chi.
Dude, it took at least 24 hours for the feeling of where he struck me in my chest to pass. It was like a good kind of pain in the chest that I felt in the area where I was struck, you know, which was weird because it's not like he hurt me. I mean, I felt pain, but I wasn't injured.
No, he healed you. A rapid action, you know, rapid release,
yes,
of a lot of karma that he just kind of, he basically knocked the crap out of you, literally. And, you'll find things have been turning around since then. Has your life changed since that moment?
Yes. Although that did happen before my arrest or whatever. So I was still doing a plenty of stupid things too. But yes,
It happened before you were arrested.
It happened before.
It
happened before.
All right. Your arrest, Steve, is also part of your healing.
Oh no. Yeah, I get that.
Understand. So yes, he actually put you on that path that has taken you fast track through dealing with a lot of karma in the last 6 to 9 months.
Probably.
So you can thank him.
Shock healing.
It was great.
Yeah, shock healing.
Shock healing.
It's a new martial art. Shock healing, you know.
Shock healing.
Get your butt kicked.
Chakra healing. Shock healing.
Yeah, that's why I said that, because it goes with chakra. Yeah.
Exactly.
Shock healing.
So let me roll through the rest of this article real quick before the top of the hour, so that way I can start my show with a fresh story. For all his hard work protecting and coddling criminal financial oligarchs, Eric Holder was always going to be paid handsomely once he left office. That time has come from The Intercept. After failing to criminally prosecute any of the financial firms responsible for the market collapse in 2008, former Attorney General Eric Holder is returning to Covington and Burling, a corporate law firm known for serving Wall Street clients. The move completes one of the more troubling trips through the revolving door for a cabinet secretary. Holder worked at Covington from 2001 right up to being sworn in as Attorney General in February 2009, and Covington literally kept an office empty for him awaiting his return. The Covington and Burling client list has included four of the largest banks, including Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. Covington was also deeply involved with a company known as MERS, MERS, which was later responsible for falsifying mortgage documents on an industrial scale. Court records show that Covington, in the late 1990s, provided legal opinion letters needed to create MERS on behalf of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and several other large banks, according to an investigation by Reuters. The Department of Justice under Holder not only failed to pursue criminal prosecution of the banks responsible for the mortgage meltdown, but in fact deprioritized investigations of mortgage fraud, making it the lowest ranked criminal threat, according to an Inspector General report. When the firm moved to a new building last year, it kept an 11th story corner office reserved for Holder. All right, I there's about a quarter of this article left, and yeah, you bet I'm going to finish this article at the top of the hour on Ghosts in the Machine. Thanks so much, everybody. It's been Sean David Morton's Strange Universe. If you liked everything you heard, it's going to sound pretty much exactly the same, except with 90% more metal coming up in about 5 minutes.
More.
Ah! You know, I could have sworn I heard the music playing in the backdrop. What happened?
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm sure I was fading up into the music there.
Those were angels singing.
That must have been a time dilation.
Hi, everybody.
Listen in on Mondays, 8 Eastern Time on Revolution Radio for Journeys with JP. With a variety of guests, each giving their perspective on their journey into the now. Join me and my guests, Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio Studio B.
Tuesday evening on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, we present our goddess spiritual warrior, Kathy Bilski.
I command. I call to the architect of the universe's divine creators and ask for permission to quantum leave the world in all life forms on all planes and dimensions, seen and unseen, connected with planet Earth, to let us go beyond our known potential into the greatest unknown golden age.